everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome to First Strike, First Look right here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. I'm going to break down everything on a very intriguing pay-per-view card here as we take a first look at it on a Tuesday before we get to Saturday night's main event. We got two title fights on the docket. Should be an incredible card. And help break it down is the man who puts those numbers up at Circus Sportsbook. He is Nick Kalikas. You can follow him on Twitter as I do, at Fight Odds. Nick, great to have you back. What a big weekend this should be in the UFC. But I do want to go back to last weekend to start there and see how the books did. I think maybe surprising to many when we got a first round stoppage in the main event as Biggie Boy Rozenstruik gets stopped against Alexander Volkov in that first round. How did the books fare with what we saw in the UFC last weekend?
Actually, with Circa, for us at least, I can't speak for everybody, but I think for the most case, and I think in certain circumstances across the board, I think the market kind of feels the same type of impact. But I know firsthand, obviously, at Circa, we took a hit. It was probably one of the worst losses we've had all year. Of course, it wasn't just the Volkov fight. It was just from top to bottom. So it was not a very good event for us, but it was a very good event for the bettors out there. The public and the sharps had a very successful weekend.
You know, Nick, that's interesting, too, because I think we talk a lot about scoring in the last couple of weeks here on the show, not only on First Strike, First for Look, but also on First Strike before you do these handicaps and before people lay down their money on some of these fights. And we saw coming into play again last weekend, some split decisions, very controversial. What do you make of the new scoring system and how hard it is to handicap fights that we think might be close, might go the distance, and try to interpret what the judges are interpreting?
You know what? I mean, for me, it's going to be a crapshoot and it will remain a crapshoot. I know they're, you know, everybody's trying to get on the same page, but we're not going to have that consistency. You know, there's three judges in a chair, and unfortunately, it just seems like they're all scoring different. So it's a crapshoot. It will continue to be a crapshoot. Again, for me, I just don't see it ever changing in a beneficial way for all of us. So it's very frustrating. I think that's definitely one of the toughest aspects of betting MMA. I've said it in the past and I'll say it again. It's just, you just don't know what you're getting on the scorecards. I mean, for me, the Zhumagulov won that fight against Molina. And as a bookmaker's perspective, I was okay with like taking a stand and needing Zhumagulov to win that fight. And then when he gets it done in most people's minds and they score it the other way, of course, we took, you know, a decent hit, especially in a case like that when the public and the sharps are on one side. Everybody was betting Molina. I'm just using that fight as an example because it sticks out the most to me right now. So, it's very frustrating. There's no doubt about it. And I think in a situation like that, especially even with the modified rules or whatnot, I mean, you know, you're on the right side and then it just doesn't work out for you. It happens though. I mean, it all balances out, they say, in the end, right? But it's definitely spots like this that stick out and, you know, make you feel it more so than other times.
Oh, Nick, I'm right there with you, brother. I can go back to the Jake Collier, Andre Arlovsky fight that I thought Collier won pretty convincingly, and then it doesn't go your way when you're on that side and you go, what fight did they watch that I didn't? And it is tough as a bettor out there when you feel like you were on the right side of your handicap, but the judges don't agree. So just, we kind of throw that out there almost as a cautionary tale to remember, you know, fights that go to the decision, you got to hold your breath and hope that they see it the way that you think you saw it, or at least handicapped it, because it's not going that way. So maybe when you get scenarios where you think there's going to be a clear-cut victor, those might be the fights you want to put more action on. Let's get right to the main event here as we get to a pay-per-view, and that's Jiří Procházka going to try to get and wrestle that title away from Glover Teixeira. You know, at first blush, Nick, I look at this here, Procházka right now about a $2 favorite over Glover, the champion, and I go, boy, this feels like the changing of the guard. But I'm almost getting the sense out there that some are questioning whether or not Prochaska's resume, certainly not in a Glover to share, whose resume can rack up there with Glover's, that maybe this might not be as lopsided as a 2-1 favorite. What are you seeing here, and what's the betting market telling you so far?
Well, the betting market opened pretty low. It opened minus 130, minus 140 overall across the board, and now we're seeing minus 200. We opened at minus 210 at Circa, and it's been staying steady. There hasn't been a ton of action either way. No significant sharp bets coming in on the favorite. No significant sharp bets as of yet coming in on the underdog as well. And then the market kind of caught up to us because you're seeing a minus 200 spots all over the place right now. So I think it's staying steady, but again, we will see some movement, especially as the limits increase, you know, around the world or whatnot. We'll see more action coming in on this fight and as we get closer to fight day. But yeah, there is a lot of question marks, I think, still surrounding Procházka in this spot, because again, for most of us that have been following the sport for a long time, even before Procházka came into the UFC, we were aware of him. We knew what kind of talent he was, but I think a lot of the newbies out there are not really sure of what he can do or whatnot. So I think Glover has been more of the household name. You know what you're getting with him. This guy's a phenomenal fighter. I'm so happy for him finally getting that strap. You know, he deserves it. He's just such a great fighter. Again, even before he came, he's had a long UFC career, but before he came to the UFC himself, you know, there was a lot of buzz and hype and respect with the Glover's name. So for him finally to get that strap, and again, he has a path to victory here as a dog, and people are going to buy into that. I mean, you can't sleep on his striking, but it's obviously the ground game with Glover that's going to come into play here. If he can, he's going to try to utilize that strength, and that's the question marks I think people have with Procházka right now, is if he gets the fight to the floor, if Glover does, can Procházka survive on the ground against him? So that's the ultimate question mark. On the feet, obviously Procházka does have a big advantage.
Well, I think you just eloquently broke it down there, and I'm right there with you. When you look at Glover, and obviously the way he dominated Jan Błachowicz to win this strap, and again, you can go back to Błachowicz. I know it was an upper weight class for Israel Adesanya, but the way that he dominated Izzy back in the day, kind of do those properties, and you know, this guy beat this guy. Procházka just hasn't been in there with anybody of that ilk. Yeah, he's been in with good guys and good fighters like Dominic Reyes, but not killers like Israel Adesanya. And certainly, you know, the level of competition that Glover has seen. What really surprises me is I look at the total. Over 1.5 in a potential 5-round fight is just juiced to minus 130. The under 1.5 is plus $1 right now. What do you make of that? Because, Nick, it kind of shows two clear paths, right? That either Prochaska is going to get this done early, or Glover is going to utilize that wrestling and make this a longer night than Prochaska wants.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, again, it's kind of holding steady, 1.5. It's the finishing ability that both these guys have, though, too. You're right. If it goes over, it's probably Glover surviving that first round, getting into the second round, and starting to utilize that wrestling and maybe, you know, that submission game as it goes a little bit. So it probably, if Glover wins this fight, it more than likely goes over 1.5 rounds. But if he does not, it's definitely correlated to a Procházka, right? Because Procházka, again, has that unorthodox striking style, has that power to finish people. And if any kryptonite in Glover's game in the past, it's been his chin a little bit. It's kind of hard for him to get that head off his head off the line, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. He takes a punishment. So I think that's what people are seeing here. And then also, like I said, if he does get the fight to the floor, even in round one, there's a possibility Glover finishes this fight by submission early too, right? Because he has that much of a dominant ground game. So I think that's why you're seeing the total be so low here, 1.5 rounds. And it's staying, again, steady because there's just small bets coming in, I think, across the market right now. And they are receiving two-way action.
Talking with Nick Kalikas, follow him on Twitter as I do, at Fight Odds. And again, you mentioned getting that head off the line. You've got a great program on the line. Very quickly, with a big pay-per-view like this, what are the people going to get when they check that out on Fight Pass?
Yeah, we cover the card from top to bottom, and we give our best bets, the prop bets, every gambling aspect you can think of this card. So it is available right now on UFC Fight Pass. It's an awesome show. I urge you guys to go check it out.
Absolutely, and I will do so. Let's get back to this card here, and let's talk about the bullet, because Valentina Shevchenko, you know, before Juliana Pena lost at 135 pounds, when Juliana Pena beat Amanda Nunes at 135 pounds, Nunes was looked at as the GOAT of women's MMA, and I think she still might be there. Shevchenko has got to be nipping at her heels, if not at least her equal. And if she gets it done against Taya Santos again, I wonder if we're going to see Shevchenko against Nunes again. I don't want to overlook Santos, but the betting public is. Valentina right now is over a $6 favorite here. Will you see dog action come in, specifically because of what we saw Pena do to Nunes, and maybe people say, I got to take a stab at this title shot?
We will. And historically, these lines for dominant female champions, like you said, they've been ridiculously high favorites, right? Shevchenko dominates everybody at 125. I mean, there hasn't been any close competition for her, really. And then, like you said, Nunes, I mean, she's been dominant outside of her loss, her recent loss to Pena. She's been dominant as well. So those lines are so inflated at times that we always attract dog action at the sports books. So more than likely, I know it's hard to believe with these pricings, but we do need the favorites to go off because there's so much dog straight plays on the, you know, and a situation like this. So the Santos side will attract that dog action. Of course, the other side of things, though, to get a little bit more balance for us, we will have some parlays, you know, liability on the Shevchenko side as well. But yeah, I do think it's a dog or pass situation, though. And this is crazy because for me personally, I've never bet against Shevchenko. But nope. If anybody's going to give her some problems early on, especially in the first couple rounds, I think it's a girl like Santos, man. She's strong. She's powerful. She's a well-rounded fighter in her own right. And eventually, we probably will see Shevchenko take a step back. Right? You would think she's human. So I don't think she could continue to keep on performing at the high level that we've used to, you know, seeing her compete at. Right. So eventually something's going to give. I don't know if this is the spot that she loses, but I'm looking forward to this fight. That's for sure.
You know, it's so interesting, too, Nick, because you look at Shevchenko. You know, at some point we kind of thought maybe she's a decision fighter because she was, you know, fought at 115 and then she had to go up to 125. She was up as high as 35. You know, at 25 here, 125 pounds, the over is juiced at 3.5 to minus $1.60. The under plus money on the comeback at plus 130 if you think it's going to go under 3.5 rounds. And then Shevchenko became this wrecking ball, right? Lauren Murphy and Jessica Eye, and she starts taking ladies out quick. In fights, do you think this might be a spot if you want to avoid the big price tag of Shevchenko that the over could be something that at minus $1.60 could be a little bit more palatable than maybe laying that over $6 price tag?
Yeah, and it looks like the market is trending that way right now, right? So the action is coming in on over 3.5 rounds, and I'm expecting it to continue to climb somewhat, and then we will see some buyback, of course, on the under, because like you said, Shevchenko is starting to finish fights. There's no question about that. And I think that 3.5 round mark, right? So it dips into round four, just the beginning of round four or whatnot. I think it's going to be very close because, again, early on, I think Santos could give Shevchenko all she can handle. But as the fight progresses a little bit, you would think the advantage significantly favors Shevchenko, right? So maybe in round four, round five is when she does get a finish over Santos. I could see that playing out as well. So I think 3.5 rounds right now where the line is, it's kind of the sweet spot. It's going to be very close.
And let me put you on the spot here, Nick, because you're so good at your job at what you do, setting those numbers over at Circus Sportsbook. Okay, Shevchenko wipes out Santos in this hypothesis, okay? Amanda Nunes wipes out Juliana Pena in their rematch coming up here not too off into the distance. We get Shevchenko to agree to a third fight against Amanda Nunes at 135 pounds. Nick Kalikas, set that number for me.
Well, you know what? I bet Shevchenko both fights against Nunes. I think Shevchenko is the GOAT. So for me, I might be a little bit biased. Dude, I thought the value was right. She was so close. The difference, honestly, in those wins and losses, they were ultra close and competitive. And you could have gave Shevchenko those fights as well, especially that last one, right? But yes. That being said, I mean, it's hard to deny Nunes as well, right? But the difference is just that power, that strength, and that size a little bit. If they were a little bit more equal, Shevchenko, I think, would blow her out of the water, to be honest with you. And again, no disrespect to Nunes, but I think so. So for me, I would actually favor Shevchenko, especially from what we've seen as of late. Whoa. For Nunes. Maybe not even fair to say that, right? But, I mean, Pena kind of exposed her a little bit. Maybe Nunes is in that spot in her career where she's got the money, she's got the bankroll. She's not going to be training maybe as hard as she once was when she was kind of a hungry contender, got that title, whatever, defending that. You know what I mean? She's been such a dominant champion that we see that from time to time. So I honestly would bet Shevchenko a third time, even though it didn't go that well for me the first two times. I would. It'd be close to a pick 'em type of fight. I think obviously the public would be all over Nunes considering she won two times, but I would probably make the line minus 120, minus 130 for Shevchenko in that fight, and I would lay the chalk.
Oh my goodness. I absolutely love that conversation. You would make open up Valentina Shevchenko at Circus Sportsbook as the favorite in the trilogy against a woman she's lost to twice. Nick, I was there at UFC 196. That was the Bullets debut into the UFC. I know you remember that fight well. three-round fight at the time. Just think of that. They threw Valentina Shevchenko to Amanda Nunes in her first ever fight in the UFC, and she got dominated in that first round, maybe the first round and a half, and then she dominated Nunes in the back end of that fight. I thought it was very close. The second fight, I'm right there with you. I actually thought Shevchenko won that fight, but it went to Nunes again. So that would be a fascinating, fascinating trilogy fight, even though Nunes has won the first two officially. I'm right there with you. It is so close as to who is the GOAT. I believe overall, is it Shevchenko? Is it Nunes? Maybe we'll get one more answer to that question. Very quickly, I want to get your thoughts on Weili Zhang against Joanna Jędrzejczyk. This is an interesting matchup at 115 pounds. And it feels like pathways for both of these ladies to potentially get their title back now that we know that the Cookie Monster is the new champion after defeating Rose Namajunas. What do you make of Zhang as a pretty solid favorite here? I'm seeing about minus $1.50, $1.55 against the former champion in Jędrzejczyk.
Yeah, I was all over Jędrzejczyk the first fight. I thought the dog value was there, and it was there, man. So frustrating. Another tough spot because I do believe Zhang won that fight, and I bet Jędrzejczyk, like I said. So I just think it was ultra close. It was 2-2 going into that fifth round. I thought Zhang did enough to barely edge that fight out. But again, from the betting value perspective, I mean, the price that I ended up getting on Joanna in that spot was, I think, plus 185 when it closed somewhere around there. So ridiculously good value there. Now, that being said, for me, I needed to see Zhang get over that hump. I needed to see her beat a quality opponent, because before that, let's not forget, I mean, she was kind of destroying people, running through people, of course, as well. But I knew this was going to be her ultimate test. And if she's legit, she'd get over that hump. And she kind of did, right? I understand her performances against Namajunas after the fact, kind of brought her back down to reality somewhat. But still, I think she matches up very good against Joanna. And this is going to be a great fight. The public is going to be all over JJ in this spot for sure. I think the line's going to continue to drop because they're going to see what happened in the first fight. But you know what? A three-round fight with JJ's time off now, she's, you know, had a couple years off a little bit to recoup. That might be good for her, but I actually think the Zhang's activity, I know, again, she hasn't been fighting five times a year or anything like that, but still, she's been a little bit more active. She's coming off that lost Rose, so I think she's going to get back in there and perform really well. So for me, I think it's a favorite or pass situation. We haven't received a ton of action on this fight yet, surprisingly, right? But I expect the dog might to start coming in here for sure.
And Nick, what's fascinating about this is we just mentioned three-round fight. I mean, when you have Zhang against Jędrzejczyk, you just assume it's got to be a five-round fight. It's got to be a main event. There's got to be a belt on the line. We're talking about the cream of the crop here at the 115-pound division, but it is only three rounds. So you can expect more fireworks, right? Because they know they don't have five to go. The over right now, 2.5 rounds, almost $3. So when you truncate this fight into potentially three rounds, could there be value on the under at plus 210? Because these ladies are not going to be waiting because they know time is going to be of the essence.
Absolutely. And they're both finishers. They have the capability to finish fights as well. So yeah, there's no way I would lay the chalk minus 250, minus 240s out there that you're seeing. I think it's a dog or pass situation as far as the total goes. You have to bet under, because I know a lot of people think, okay, these ladies are so quality. I mean, they're top of the food chain, of course, and their durability is normally there as well. So probably does go. Of course, it should go, right? That's why you're seeing it be that chalky or whatnot. But again, where there's value, there's value. And I think if anything, there's something maybe giving here. And we've seen Jędrzejczyk in the past. Like, I mean, that hematoma that she's had, from that Zhang fight was ridiculous. And she's had something like that occur in the past as well. It wasn't just that fight. So I think at this point of her career, she gets marked up and she really shows it on her face to the point where she's going to absorb some damage. And Zhang hits really, really hard. So I expect her to kind of wear it on her face a little bit. And we might see a finish before it hits the scorecards here. So I would not lay the chalk.
I'm with you. There's value to me right now playing the under at over $2. We'll see what that market moves here. That's why it's first strike, first look before we get to first strike on Friday. Nick, very quickly, it's a pay-per-view. It's a loaded card. Is there another fight, maybe on the prelims or the main card, that really entices you from a betting perspective?
Yeah, we're getting some sharp action right now on Jack Della Maddalena over Ramazan Emiev, and I agree with that as well. I'm already taking that myself. I gave it out on UFC Fight Pass, so make sure, again, you check out On the Line there. So, and sharp action has agreed with this spot. So Maddalena seems to be the side here. I just think he matches up really good, especially with Emiev right now in this situation. I think Emiev is kind of on a bit of a decline, so to speak. He's not fighting at his highest level. And on the Metalina side, I think you are seeing an uptick. He is getting better. We haven't seen a lot of him in the octagon as of yet, but this guy is definitely a serious prospect. So I think he's probably going to be able to stuff the takedowns, keep this fight upright, and do some damage on the feet. And again, the sharp action is coming in that way right now as well. We will see some buyback for sure at a certain point, and we're starting to get a little bit of trickles back, and people are respecting the Emeev side. So I expect that to continue. But right now, it's Metalina and Emeev getting a lot of action at the sports books.
And right now, Metalina, about a minus $1.50 as we sit here at First Strike, First Look on a Tuesday. Hey, Nick, we could do this all day, but you're a busy man, so I got to let you go. But I really appreciate the time for joining us on First Strike, First Look. And again, follow him on Fight Odds. Check out On the Line on ESPN and on Fight Pass. Nick, enjoy the fights. We'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. I'll see you guys. I'll talk to you guys on Friday.
Absolutely. You'll see Nick and I back here on VSiN on First Strike. We'll see you then. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you on Friday on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.